Well, this morning, I want to talk about your favorite subject. I'm sure everybody just loves to hear about this, but I want to talk about pain, right? I know I'm talking to anybody and everybody because everybody's experienced pain, right? We all have had pain in our lives, and sometimes when we look at the Christian life, sometimes we ask the question, you know, what about pain? What about pain? You know, we understand this world we live in, there's pain. Yasser understands very much. There's pain, right? And things happen in this world that sometimes are perplexing. Sometimes we wonder, why is there so much pain in this world? We wonder, why is there pain in my life? Why is there pain in my life? Because we all experience it. It's common to the human experience. Is there purpose in my pain? Is there purpose in pain in general? Is God inflicting pain upon me? These are some of the questions that sometimes we have. And people wonder about, is God inflicting pain upon me? Why can't life be pain-free? I'm sure we probably all thought that at one point in time. Why can't life be just pain-free? There's suffering in this world. Is suffering always of the devil? Is it just him doing bad things? And maybe another question here is, if God really loves me, wouldn't he take away all suffering and pain? Wouldn't he take it all away? See, these are questions that we all have at some point or time. Now, I don't think we should necessarily get stuck on all these questions, but they're questions that's worth digging deeper and thinking deeper, and I'm sure you have thought deeper. And sometimes you haven't had all the answers. I'm not here today to give you all the answers. It's not even possible to talk about everything there needs to be talked about in one message. That's not possible. So I'm going to touch on some things today and leave you to do some more pondering and seeking on your own as well to talk with God, because that's what it takes sometimes. It does take some conversations with God when we wonder about when it comes to pain. Now, that question, if God really loves me, wouldn't he take away all suffering and pain? Now, one answer to that question is, he has. He has. And that might be a surprising response to that question to say, well, what do you mean he has? I do want to look at Scripture, and I want to look at what God has already done in this world and the world to come. So I'm going to start today in Revelations 21. I believe we have that Scripture, okay? You can look on, probably the easiest thing to do, or you can certainly look and grab a Bible and look on that way. Let's start in Revelations 21. We're getting a vision of a new earth and new heaven. John is speaking of the vision. He's saying, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. As I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.'" So obviously we're getting a future vision from John as he's seeing things unfold. And he's kind of speaking to us even of the end times. But he talks about this old order passing away. So God has given us a place where pain does not exist, where there's no hurts or mourning or death. God has created. That is something that he has done. And it's actually ready for us. It's ready for us, but there is a not yet. We're in this moment in time of where we're living is the coming of what Christ has done, but we're in the still not yet. Because we're still living in the old order. Now Christ has come, and Christ has given us himself. so that in him we have life, and we have life eternal, and we have life in heaven. We have life with God forever and ever and ever and ever. He dwells among us, and we will be with him. And we'll have bodies that don't experience pain. We'll have lives that won't experience mourning or death or crying and tears. There'll be joy, great joy in heaven. So there is a place. And God has made that for us. But we live in this old order under a New Testament grace, the grace of God, with a secure future. We know that in this life, there's pain. In the old order, there's pain. I mean, that's, nobody has to question that, because we experience pain. Even as Christians, Christians experience pain, because becoming a Christian doesn't mean you don't experience pain. It doesn't mean you don't have trouble. It doesn't mean you don't have difficulties. It doesn't mean that there are things that are great challenges in life to overcome. But you see, what it means to be Christian is we have Christ. We have him who came, who gave us his life, that we have life in him. So we do have something that's incredibly amazing, incredibly special. Because so though this world is under a curse, we're free from the curse. The curse has been broken in Christ Jesus. So that curse for us, we live in a different reality here on earth with Christ than someone who lives without Christ. You see, they're still under the curse. But in Christ, we are free from the curse. The curse is broken. So we do live in a new reality here on earth that is different from those who are rejecting and say no to Christ. But we see pain. We see pain in the world. We experience pain. And on this side of heaven, there's pain. But can there be purpose in pain? Now, I know you've probably thought about it, and you probably understand and see very clearly that there is purpose in pain. And I'm not going to bring up every existential question when it comes to pain and suffering. That's not my goal this morning. Couldn't do it. Don't have time to do it. But is there purpose in pain? The simple answer to that is yes. Yes. There is purpose in pain. That we can see and discover there is purpose in pain. So again, I cannot say everything that needs to be said. But I do understand that there's purpose in pain. And there's things that I and you, we all need to continue to learn. And God is teaching us. Let me cover a few things today. First of all, pain can be instructive. Pain is like an instructor, literally. On a very simple level, pain teaches us lessons that are very important. You know, a person is wise to understand and apply wisdom when pain is teaching us a lesson. We've all learned lessons from pain. We all have. Think about this. Don't touch the hot stove. Don't touch, right? Well, we know, right? If we don't believe it, if we don't believe those instructions when the instructions are given, we touch it, we experience pain. And so pain becomes a teacher that we don't want to ever touch the hot stove again because we know that there's pain. So we know on a very simple level, pain does teach us. Pain is a type of teacher. And in many ways, it's good, right? It's good. Because even to have the ability to feel pain means you're alive. You're very much alive. Things can hurt, and you kind of learn what to do and what not to do, right? I mean, how many people here would like to go up and just grab hold of a cactus full of needles? You know, because you knew somewhere along the line, you learn sharp things you avoid or you handle very, very carefully, right? Because you know what those needles can do, and you know what it feels like if you did grab hold of that cactus. So there's a learning there that we learn. We live in a world that there are sharp things. We live in a world where there's lions and tigers and bears. Thank you. And tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. We live in a world that is kind of ruptured in many ways. It says even creation itself is crying out. It's crying out. It is in pain. It says creation itself is in pain because of what it has been subjected to because of sin. So even creation is disrupted. So we do live in a world where it's pain. And pain teaches us, instructs us, even how to order our lives to avoid walking on roads where there's lions, right? Maybe that's not our reality, but that's a reality in places in the world. Or what to do and how to do it, and to do it well. So pain can be instructive on how we should live. And if we forget things, pain reminds us. Roses are beautiful. They're beautiful. But guess what? They have thorns. And if you forget they have thorns, they will remind you. They will remind you that they have thorns. And so pain can be instructive, and pain can remind us of things that we need to know. But in life, even when we know, even when we learned, even when we have been instructed, we still trip and fall. We still do. Even when we're doing our best. So pain, in some ways, can be unavoidable. You know, if we're going to live life fully, just guess what? We're going to trip and fall, and there's going to be pain. We learn how to walk, and we walk with care. Where to walk, where not to walk. But even when we've learned, we still trip. So there's always this risk of pain in life. Even when we're living life well, there's always this risk of pain. I could trip and fall today. Hopefully not. I'm praying, Lord, help my feet be in good order. But there's things we don't see. There's things that happen. And I could trip and fall and be in pain. I don't like this possibility. But falls are a part of life. They happen. They take place. But let me look on the flip side of this. On the flip side of this is, yes, there are falls in life, and we can think of this metaphorically as well as literally, but there's a flip side to this. There's a blessing on the other side of pain. I see it in my kids. I've experienced it, and you experienced it, right? When you were out riding the bike on the asphalt and you fell, you scraped your knee. You hurt. You were bleeding. What did you do? Did you have some just systematic understanding of pain, and you just give some kind of instruction to yourself? So it's, well, pain just happens. I'll be okay. No, as a kid, did you do that as a kid? No, you cried, right? And you cried for somebody, and you cried out. Because what did you cry out for? You cried out for mom. You cried out for dad. You cried out for somebody to comfort you, didn't you? I see it in my kids. You know, the kids come running. They come running for mom because mom's the most comforting one in that whole house. She's the one that gives the most comfort and care. And the kids come running. They've scraped their knee. They've hurt. And literally, life has been upended. So this is what I kind of realized about pain. It's not just that the knee is bleeding and the scrape hurts, because it does. But life that was fun, life that was free, life that was riding your bike and feeling the wind in your face, all of a sudden, that got upended. The good life just got upended, and the reality hit home that you can trip and you can fall and you can hurt. That became a reality in your young life and in my young life, and I see it in my kids' young life, where it becomes a reality that pain disrupts everything. But what do we want at those times? What do we need at those times? We need comfort. Each one of us needs comfort. So I've seen my kids being comforting, and it still hurts, but it's getting better. You know how it still hurts, but it's getting better? Because you're being comforted. There's someone there who's putting their arms around you and hugging you and telling you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We all need to be comforted in life. See, pain teaches us lessons, but so does the comfort we receive in times of pain. Because we need that. It teaches us. It's instructive. And you know, there is one who says that he is our comforter in times of pain. There's one we can run to. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 speaks to this. We have that. 2 Corinthians 1. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Well, God knows there's pain. God, There's a world in the order of things is pain, but God is our comforter. He says, run to me. Run to me. When you've been in pain, when you've fallen, when you are hurting, whatever your life has been upended and it's been turned upside down, it's painful. He says, run to me. Come to me. I'm compassionate over you. I'm compassionate for you, and I will comfort you. See, the Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted. He puts his arms around the brokenhearted, and he says, trust me. Trust me with your pain. Trust me with your hurt. Trust me with your wounds. It's going to be okay. In the Father's arms, it's going to be okay. He knows what to do. You know, there are ways that we will not know God unless we receive his comfort. We won't know God as the comforter unless we are in pain and we run to him and we receive comfort. There's just experiences like this that teach us about God. I can tell you that. I can tell you that God is close to the brokenhearted. But when you experience that, it becomes personal to you. Now you know God in a way you did not know before. Now you can speak about God to others in ways that you really couldn't speak about other than just saying, well, this is what I've read in the Bible. Now, it's important because it's true. The Bible's true, and what it tells us is true. But when you experience it, now you have this applied knowledge for your life that, no, God is indeed a comforter. God is indeed compassionate over my life. He's indeed there. When I turn to him, he is there. We need to know this comfort. And not only do we need to know it, but we need to share it. Because the Bible says, you know, we are comforted not only just for our comfort, yes, but we are also comforted so that we can speak of this comfort and we can comfort others. Because guess what? Others are in pain too. Others have experienced pain. You'll come across people this week that are in pain or have experienced a very powerful upending in their own lives. You can provide comfort. Be a comfort with what God has comforted you with. So we grow in this way, and we know more of God in this way. Now, pain does teach us. It does teach us. But it also can humble us. It's instructive, but sometimes when pain comes our way, it's very humbling. And it's hard. It's hard to be humbled. When we look at the Bible and we read about Paul, you know, Paul speaks to us about his journey. And his journey was not easy. God said, Paul, you're going to suffer for my sake. You're going to go all over the world, and not everybody's going to receive the message that I'm giving you to share. In fact, people are going to reject you. People are going to revile you. People are going to treat you very poorly. They're going to beat you. They're going to throw you out of the city after putting lashes on your back, literally lacerating your back. So his servanthood that he was called to be an apostle among apostles, was going to involve pain. Now, Paul had a lot of gifts. He had a lot of things that God could use for his glory. We know that Paul was very educated. We know he had an ability to speak and teach. He was excellent. We also know that Paul was very zealous. He was zealous for God. God chose him because he was so zealous that he would go to the ends of the earth to share Christ. He had this tenacity about him. Paul had revelations of God in heaven that no one else had. He had incredible revelations as God was revealing to him. You know, God used all of these strengths. All of these strengths for his glory. Yet more than all these things, the Bible says God used his weaknesses. More than all of his strengths, God used his weaknesses. The Bible tells us that Paul was given a thorn in his flesh. This thorn in the flesh was hard to deal with. It was hard to carry. It was painful. It was very painful. Now, Paul said this thorn in the flesh was given to him to keep him from becoming conceited, which means to keep him from becoming prideful. So that means Paul was one who was given over to pride. I wonder if any of us are given over to pride or pridefulness. And that thorn in the flesh which hurt, which Paul said, take from me, O God. He prayed, take this from me, God. Take this from me, God. But God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I will reveal myself in your weaknesses. I will be strong while you are weak. And this was God's way of manifesting his glory in Paul. But it's not unusual for God to even use pain to humble us. Now, it's not this mean, terrible thing, because somebody says, well, God, why didn't God take the thorn? Because God was doing something in Paul that was very powerful. And this thorn reminded Paul of his frailty, of his weakness, and it reminded him how much he needed God. Do we ever need to be reminded of how much we need God? Because we can easily start living life apart from God. I can easily start saying, hey, life is good. Life is awesome. Have the house, have the car, have everything in store. Thank you, God. And we drive off and we do our own thing. And it's all about us. And we can even do that in ministry. I know in ministry, we can make it all about us. We can make it all about us. And we forget the calling that God has on us and the servant calling that he's given us to serve others and to bless others and to share with others. Each of us is prone to pridefulness. Sometimes pain is a reminder of how much we do need God, how much we need him. And it humbles us. So pain is instructive. Pain can absolutely humble us, and it does. And pain can be a wake-up call in our lives. It can be a wake-up call. Part of that humbling, too, in another way, is that it can be a wake-up call because sometimes our way of life actually becomes painful. Our way of life is actually causing pain, and it becomes a wake-up call. The goodness of God draws us to him. Absolutely, the Bible says that. It says the goodness of God. When we see the goodness of God, it draws us to God. We want to know more of this good God. But even when we have experienced God's goodness, sometimes we continue to embrace sin. We continue to hold on to sin in our lives. We know God is good, but we're not ready to be done with sin. We kind of like it, in fact. And we kind of can live a double life. We live a life kind of with God, kind of, and yet in the world with sin. And we try to hold on to both. And the Bible says you can't really serve two masters. It's not possible. You end up loving one and leaving the other. But God calls us away and out of sin. So sometimes pain can be a wake-up call in our lives. It can take pain to wake us up just so that we will deal with the sin in our lives. Because sometimes we don't want to deal with sin in our lives. But pain can wake us up to the necessity. It could be the pain of something like an addiction. There's an addiction in our lives that's destroying our lives. It's really that pain of the addiction is bringing pain into our lives. It's destroying us. And it's time to wake up to say, Lord, I don't want this anymore. I want to live free from this, totally free from this. Pain is waking us up. There could be a pain of losing our marriage or losing our family. Because the way we're living life is pushing our family away. And we're living very selfishly, and we're not loving our family the way we should love them. And now maybe the pain of possibly losing or losing our family is waking us up and saying, hey, now it's, hey, I'll go to counseling. Hey, what can we do to get right? I'm willing to deal with my personal issues. Sometimes it's the pain of losing something that wakes us up to say, okay, God, now I'm ready for your plan. I'm tired of doing it my way. Pain can wake us up. The pain of any moral failure that calls us to commit our lives to change. And saying, Lord, I want to know what you have for my life and your life. Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist writes from a personal experience of his life. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Meaning I lived a life free from God, in sin, doing whatever I wanted to do. But now I obey your word. The psalmist is talking about pain he felt. The pain of the affliction, of living a life of going astray. Now again, I want to be careful, because God doesn't just afflict me because I have sin. But we need to know there is a pain of affliction that is a consequence of sin. It's a natural consequence of sin. My lifestyle can cause pain. What I do in my life can cause me pain and other people pain. We've all experienced it. We've experienced our own sin causing pain, and we've experienced the pain of people, the sin of people we love also causing us pain. And it's even painful for us to see people we love who are in pain because of their sin. That's painful. Because we suffer with them as we see them suffering in their walk. So pain can humble us. And it can actually help us get to the place that God is calling us to. C.S. Lewis says it this way, and I'll just read the quote. C.S. Lewis has had great quotes, but here is one quote that he's known for. And he wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. He says, the pain insists upon being attended to. Let me hear that again. Pain insists upon being attended to. You see, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciousness, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. A megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So that's C.S. Lewis saying to us that pain shouts. Because it's all a common experience that at some point in time, we're going to experience some things that are not just a little bit painful, but very, very painful. One of those is the consequences of our sin. The consequences of our sin can be very painful. But it can come to a point where we're ready to leave the sin behind and we're ready to go after God and see what God has for us. Sometimes it's only at the point of pain where people will find God. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2. Peter's speaking about this. And Peter, by the way, is someone also who experienced some great pain. In fact, there were some changes that did not happen in Peter's life until he experienced some great pain. His own failures, his own moral failures. And now he's saying this. He's saying this to the church. He says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human lust, but for the will of God. Pain can get to the place where, you know what? We don't want those drugs anymore. We don't want to live life just after every lust of the flesh and everything our flesh wants. We don't want trying to live for all the material wealth of the world or our name to be in lights. We don't want to live for self-glory anymore. See, pain can get to a point where we say, you know, I'm ready to let it all go. I'm ready just to leave it all behind. If I can have you, Jesus. If I can have you, Christ, in my life. The fullness of Christ. To leave behind a life that is broken and to receive a life from him that is making us whole, healthy, healed, blessed, full of life. Sometimes it requires suffering in the flesh to be done with sin and our way of doing life. So pain can be a megaphone to wake us up. You know, if you're praying for someone to turn back to God, if you're praying for the prodigal to come home, sometimes you know, say, Lord, I know this is probably going to involve pain, and it might involve a whole lot of pain, but Lord, bring him through. Bring him through. Bring him through the pain to glory, to your manifest presence in their life, Meet them in that place. Wherever there is pain, and you know there's testimonies in this household. There's testimonies in this house of where you have experienced such pain, but that's where you met God. That's where you met God in such a powerful way, because it was in that place of pain, in that place of crying out to God, that he met you in an incredible, intimate way. He became very personal to you in that place of pain. That's our God. So we pray for that. We pray for the prodigal. We pray for those who are going astray. We say, Lord, meet them in that place of pain. And finally, there's the place of persecution, pain. There's pain in persecution. If we're going to live for Jesus, if we're going to be Christ followers in this life, in this earth, there are those who are not going to like it. There's those who are not going to like us. There are those who will revile us. It's not time to hide. It's not time to shrink back. It's time to actually boldly proclaim Jesus, knowing that we will experience pain because of our proclamation of Christ, our life in him. 1 Peter 5, he says this. He says, it's common to all believers. It says, so humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. He will honor you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You are not alone. Some of the same sufferings we suffer for Christ, for living as Christians, because the enemy is out to devour us. Okay, right. But, you know, with Christ, we can stand firm. We can stand strong. In Christ, I can stand against the enemy that tries to come against us. Not based on our power, but based on his, because we're standing in Christ. But there's still pain. And there's still persecution. You know, Peter speaks to the church. He assumes that the church is facing hard times. He sees the church that's facing hard times. He speaks about the suffering. And we see suffering in the world today. For people who are living for Christ, they're suffering for just simply being a believer. But he says it's common. It's a common affliction. But it's not forever. Suffering is not forever. Not only for this life to come, but it says God will honor us. For those who honor him, we honor God with our lives. He says he's going to honor us. He's going to exalt us. In other translations, exalt us, which means lift us up. We don't lift ourselves. He lifts us up. And he carries us through even some of the most difficult times. So know sometimes that pain is temporary and that God is our comforter for whatever we're going through. We need his comforter. We need him. We need to know him as our comforter. And God wants us to experience his grace, his mercies, his goodness, his love in good times and bad. We're the children of God revealing Christ to the world. And what we have received from him, we give freely to others. The pain of this world is temporary. But the reward of what's to come is great. Again, in Revelation, that last verse we spoke of, it says this. It says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I look forward to the new order of things that God is bringing about. I look forward to that. But while I'm here, I accept that there is pain, but I also understand that pain has a purpose. It has a purpose. Sometimes we don't see it, but there's a purpose. And part of that purpose is to draw us closer to God, to let us know that every day I need God. Every day you need God. We need him. And sometimes if that means we feel our weaknesses and we feel them very starkly, we feel those weaknesses in us, so strongly, say, oh God, I feel my weaknesses on the inside of me, but Lord, I'm reminded today how much I need you. And he strengthens us, and he's with us. We're never alone. So I praise God for that. Just understand, it's kind of weird to understand that, but pain can be a blessing in disguise in some ways. So again, there's more to say. I could only say and hit on a few points today. But I want us to see that sometimes, Lord, and sometimes we don't see it, and sometimes we say, Lord, I don't see it, but I'm going to believe that even pain I'm going through now, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And I want to see your purpose fulfilled in my life.